Hello and welcome everybody to Nerdy Boys Reviews presents Doctor Strange. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast where we give you an overview of everything nerdy that happened in the weeks of movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. So spoiler warning, if you've not watched Doctor Strange, pause this podcast, go watch it, join us again for the fun later on. Along with that, explicit content warning. We'll be cussing and stuff, so material may not be suitable for all listeners.
Yeah.
Right up the
Welcome everybody.
Hello.
If you guys didn't know, we're gonna talk about Doctor Strange.
Sick
like
one.
Scott said in the intro.
Yeah.
So we have a major task ahead of us today. We have to talk about this movie, and we have to put it on our list of all movies, and it's gonna be a major discussion. So you guys won't want to miss this one. So stay tuned for that. We're going to talk about a little Doctor Strange history. Then we're going to talk about how much we hated or loved the movie. And then we're going to get into all these great Easter eggs and shit. It's going to be amazing.
You're in for a doozy.
Yeah. So if you haven't, you can go to our website, nerdyboysreviews.com, and check out our previously collaborated movie list where we, you know, combined our minds and, you know, put together this compromised list. So it doesn't really represent my list or Scott's list individually. It represents our Nerdy Boy list. So
yes.
Go check that out. You can follow us on Twitter at Nerdy Boys Review, on Instagram at Nerdy Boys Reviews, and on Facebook at facebook.com/Nerdy Boys Reviews. So.
Yeah.
So
without further ado, let's get into the comic book biography of Dr. Stephen Strange.
Yes.
So we're going to start off with his early life here. All right. So Stephen Strange was born to Eugene and Beverly Strange in November 1930. While the couple was vacationing in Philadelphia in 1932, Stephen's sister Donna was born at the family Nebraska farm. Knowing that Strange was destined to become the next Sorcerer Supreme, a resentful apprentice sorcerer, Carl Mordor, beset the child with demons from the age of 8 through adulthood. He was jealous that the kid would be better than him. Ultimately, Strange, rescued by Mordor's master, the Ancient One, mystic protector of the Earth Realm, as then current Sorcerer Supreme. A year or two after the tournament began, Stephen's brother Victor was born. At the age of 11, Strange aided and injured Donna, an experiment which ultimately fostered an interest in medicine. Strange entered New York College as pre-med student directly out of high school. Later, while home on a vacation for his 19th birthday, Strange was swimming with Donna when she suffered a cramp after a frantic search. Stephen found her already drowned. That experience left him with a sense of personal failure that eroded his medical idealism.
Yeah. All right, so his medical career. Stephen earned his medical degree at Columbia University in record time and entered a 5-year residency at New York Presbyterian Hospital, where his rapid success made him arrogant. If you guys didn't know, Columbia is also where Daredevil went to school.
I see connections.
Stephen's mother, Beverly, died near the end of his residency, and work became more and more impersonal for the bereaved surgeon. Strange's talent remained, however, and he became a wealthy and celebrated neurosurgeon before he turned 30. Egotistical and greedy, cold and callous, Strange's interest in his patients generally began and ended at his bill. The exception was Madeline Ravel, an injured United Nations translator whom he saved and fell in love with. Following a whirlwind romance and proposal, she left him due to his increasingly materialistic nature. 2 years after his mother's death, Strange's father, Eugene, also fell ill. Already crippled by grief over his mother's death, though he would never admit it, Stephen was unable to face any more tragedy and refused to visit Eugene's deathbed. A few days later, an outraged Victor confronted Stephen in his apartment over his apparent lack of grief. Following the confrontation, Victor rushed from the apartment and into the path of an oncoming car. Victor died, and a guilt-racked Stephen placed Victor's body in cold storage, half hoping that future breakthroughs could revive him. So far, that's just kind of all pre- what you'd see anywhere near this movie, kind of leading up to how his character is.
Yeah.
But based on all that, do you get the sense that that is the character we got in this film?
Yes and no. You don't really get the sense of a grief-stricken person. You don't actually get any information on his past or his family.
Right.
You do get the sense that he is an egotistical doctor that only cares about himself. That's right. For sure.
Yep. Alrighty. So go on.
So we're going to jump into the car accident. So around 1963, Strange was involved in a debilitating car accident.
It's Nick West from the movie.
Oh, okay. Nick West, a brilliant surgeon of his own right, was an admirer of Stephen Strange, agreed to do the surgery. Though he was able to save Strange, the nerve in his hands were severely damaged. Dr. Strange, with his surgical career over and too vain to accept the position as a consult or assistant, Strange exhausted his fortune following every rumored treatment, no matter how ineffective. In a matter of months, the once wealthy surgeon became a
derelict.
I don't even know what that word means, but I'm going to say it anyways. And restored to performing a number of shady medical procedures to survive and pay his growing bar tabs. Strange's guilt over the mistake of his early life would come to weigh heavily upon him over the years, and his recollection of the time could not always be trusted.
Yeah. So we kind of see that kind of going on with in the movie with his, you know, he's going through trying to find all these experimental treatments and spending his fortune. Now he doesn't have any money left. And I think that they pretty much nailed that. So,
yeah.
Seeking the Ancient One. After hearing rumors of the mystical Ancient One, Strange pawned his last possessions for a ticket to the East. Strange found the Ancient One's Tibetan palace, but the aged sorcerer refused to cure him, instead offering to teach him in mysticism. Strange refused, but couldn't leave immediately due to a sudden blizzard. While staying for the duration of the storm, Strange witnessed the Ancient One's apprentice, Baron Mordo, secretly attack the teacher with mystically summoned skeletons, which the old man easily dispelled. Strange, his skepticism eroding, confronted Mordo about the treachery, but Mordo responded with restraining spells that kept Strange from warning the Ancient One or attacking Mordo physically. Amazed by this, these displays of magic, Strange underwent a strange change of heart. Sorry, he underwent a change of heart. Go away, fly. Deciding that the only way to stop Mordo was to learn magic himself in order to challenge Mordo on his terms, Strange accepted the Ancient One's offer. Pleased by Strange's acceptance for unselfish reasons, the Ancient One removed the mystic restraints, explaining that he was well aware of Mordo's treachery, but preferred to keep Mordo close by in order to control and possibly change him. The Ancient One had known of Strange and his potential to serve as a Sorcerer Supreme prior to even Strange's first encounter with him. He regarded his hidden prowess so highly that he rejected Damon Hellstrom for Strange as his pupil. The Ancient One had planned to make Doctor Strange his successor for a long time. Strange spent years under the Ancient One's tutelage, learning to tap innate mystic powers of himself and the world around him, as well as how to invoke the powers of principalities. Powerful beings such as Dormammu, Satanish, and the Vishanti, who resided in their own mystic realms. A few years after Strange's arrival, Mordo left the Ancient One's palace to seek greater power. The two rivals would clash often in the future. It was during this time that Strange passed a test against death itself. As a reward, Strange was given ageless life and an ink-shaped mark on his forehead that would only appear when his life was in dire jeopardy. The Ancient One himself had attained a near immortality by passing this test over 600 years earlier.
Vastly different, obviously.
Yep.
From the movie, which I'm pretty fine with those changes that they made. You know, they had to make it work within the concepts of what they're trying to accomplish in the film.
Definitely. Sure. And you can see some of the similarities, as like the Ancient One in the movie also saw that Doctor Strange had a lot of potential to be great.
Yeah.
Even before he ever came to the Ancient One. But most of the other stuff is different. Obviously, Baron Mordo, Carl Mordo in the movie, his story went a little different. But I think, you know, they managed to take this massive history and make it all kind of work.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about the movie then, what we thought. What were your overall thoughts of the film?
I thought it's one of the best Marvel products to come out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was undoubtedly just, you know, just ahead of a lot of other things that they've produced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I think the film did an exceptional job. Visually, it was great. I thought the story was well executed. I thought that the action scenes and the, you know, just the magic scenes that looked great. So, mm-hmm.
And not to really mention too, I mean, to mention as well, I mean, how visually ambitious they were in this movie, mm-hmm. and like, it took a lot of guts to kind of try and make this movie, because it's understandable like how they could have easily failed at this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Just based off like not having the right CGI for the movie and whatnot. If they fail at that, then the movie itself kind of falls apart, you know, because without being able to properly represent the magical realms and the, you know, the manifestation of magical powers and things like that, you know, it just falls apart at the seams, really.
Yeah, even with characters like Dormammu, like, it's easy to mess up the appearance of Dormammu because it's not like a very straightforward, you know, look to a character.
Yeah.
And the way they did it was different than in the comics, but still, I think they still managed to pull it off quite nicely.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very ambitious. You know, they kicked the movie off right away with this new Marvel logo, you know, like the,
yes,
they've changed that as well, so that was pretty cool. Kind of incorporating now the MCU more. So they managed to connect this obviously with Infinity War moving forward.
Yep.
Do you think that was, you know, the proper way to do it, or
well, yeah, I mean, I think I had like previously predicted it had to have been either they had to introduce it within either Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy, or, you know, rush into it with they had just magically found it, which was obviously not the right move to do. And so, I mean, it came down to, do you want to introduce another one in Guardians of the Galaxy or just introduce another one in a new movie? You know, and the way they introduced it, everything made sense, right. And it was all perfectly well mapped out for sure.
Yep. We do still have one Infinity Stone out there. Floating around. We do, yes. The soul gem.
Oh, yeah. No. No.
The mind gem is what's on Vision.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll go through that all in our little Easter egg section.
Yes.
But, yeah, I think it was very interesting. They put the time gem in the Eye of Agamotto. Doctor Strange has mastered. He's mastered the Eye of Agamotto. But he put it back at the end for some reason. I don't know why he just couldn't keep it, but...
Yeah, I mean... It's, you know, it's just the whole paradox of not messing with time and
the natural order or whatever. Yeah. So let's talk about his time in what's the fucking place called? Carmitage. So how long was Doctor Strange in Carmitage?
We had previously talked about it outside of this podcast, obviously.
Yes.
And that's something we were wondering, and Christian's seen the movie 3 times. I've seen it twice now. And so it's rather difficult to gauge the amount of time because you don't see seasons change. You don't really see the difference in like light and darkness settings. I mean, based off like what they actually provide for us, except for one instance in the movie, you only would assume like maybe a couple days, maybe a couple weeks have passed. But in all reality, it had to have been a year or two.
Yeah. In the comics, for some backstory for you guys, it was 7 years that he trained.
Yeah.
Under the Ancient One.
And it could have even taken that long as well. We don't really know.
Well, we do notice his hair does change to gray by his scalp. He wasn't like that at the beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even notice that, dude. Well, nice. But
in addition to that, I mean, the only real hint you get in this movie is Christine says, well, you've been gone all this time or whatever. But other than that, you have to kind of go to, you know, extra sources. And, you know, initially what comes to mind for all of us weird MCU people trying to figure out this stupid-ass timeline is in Winter Soldier where, you know, Stephen Strange's name was mentioned Yeah, when they got that guy, that black guy, and like Falcon was like there, and they're like talking to him, like trying to figure out why they're targeting these people, you know, to try to stop future problems or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And like he's like, oh, there's so many threats out there that are coming up that we can't handle. And he mentioned Stephen Strange's name.
I just didn't catch it. I don't know.
So if that movie takes place in 2014 when it came out, then are we to understand he's been training for 2-3 years, maybe more.
Yeah, dude, like, I'm honestly kind of thinking that, like, my prediction of 1-2 years is kind of wrong, because, like, even just, like, the mention of all of that time you've been gone.
Right.
I wouldn't, like, presumably say, like, that's a year time. Like, I would never classify a year as to mention we haven't seen each other for all this time.
Right.
Like, all this time would mean 3+ years. And now that you mention it, his hair did change colors. We never see the changing of seasons necessarily.
Well, we do see his robes change colors like 3 or 4 times. He goes from like blue to red, back to blue or purple or whatever it is. Like, so I don't know if that like is showing his rank changing or anything like that.
So, okay, my official guess is going to have to be he was gone for at least 5 years.
Yeah, I'd say 3 years max, but
I don't think 3 years is quite enough time for hair to change color necessarily. Like, when his hair was clearly, like, vibrantly black.
Well, have you seen Barack Obama, right?
Jesus. True. Yeah. But he was the president of the United States.
Yes. But being a sorcerer could be very stressful, you know?
Maybe. Yeah, I mean, I see what you mean. But then, like, it's like, no matter, even if you're, like, the most proficient reader, you're not going to finish those books of, like, studying, even with the eidetic memory that he has, and photographic memory.
To learn a new language as well, to read it in.
Yeah, learn new languages, all this stuff. You're not necessarily going to be able to do that in a year, 2 years, even 3 years, I feel like. That's a process that I feel like, with his brain and how smart he is, that would take 5, maybe 7 years. But they don't ever give us some sort of time lapse. They just give us clues, such as changing hair color, which I didn't notice. You pointed out to me. The books that he's read, the hint by Christine, and then when he's facing... what is his name?
Dormammu? No. Caecilius.
Caecilius. And he's like, how long have you been here? And he just kind of smirks at him.
Right.
And, like, it's not really any sort of indication.
They give us some other hints as well, like, because initially, like, you kind of think, like, oh, how could he have been there that long and Caecilius not have succeeded in that time? But they do mention, like, he has to interpret the rituals before he can, you know, even use it. So, I mean, how much time was he sitting there trying to interpret this ritual and do all that? And obviously they talk about Caecilius in Carmitage as if it was, like, years ago, like, you know, like he was a failed student from before, you know, like,
yeah,
it's not like a new kind of thing almost.
Yeah. And it's very difficult to gauge time, you know, especially when you're dealing with other realities and dimensions and stuff like that. It kind of gets washed away. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So like, to me, because we've talked about how much we've enjoyed the movie already, like, to me, that's like the one flaw is like that they didn't explicitly tell you how long he was there. Because it's kind of left us to wonder, like, how does this all come together? Like, because, you know, people are sitting there bitching on Twitter and stuff. Oh, yeah, dude, all I have to do is read, like, a couple books and I can become anything or whatever. And it's like, it's not really how that happened, you know? Like, he was obviously there for a long time. And that was one of your biggest praises of the film was the training.
Yeah. So, like, my biggest thing is, like, especially with the origin stories, I feel like they never correctly interpret, like, passages of time and, like, how long the person is training. And, like, it just seems like everybody in every movie ever, like, just, like, randomly gets a hole. After, like, explicitly struggling, all of a sudden just turn the switch on. And they're just masters of whatever their power is. And it's just, like, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't, you just, that just does not happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's unrealistic to think that, like, such as, okay, for example, in the Green Lantern movie, this guy could not manifest anything to save his fucking life correctly. And all of a sudden, he could do it? Like, it doesn't make sense, dude! Like, fucking dude, and it's like the same thing with the different Spider-Mans. He's struggling the web-slinging stuff, and all of a sudden, he's faced by a bad guy, and all of a sudden, he's a badass fucking web-slinger, and it just doesn't make sense to me, personally. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I've always felt like that's one place, in my opinion, that most superheroes movies have always failed at. They've never done the training sequence right, and in Doctor Strange, I felt like they, by leaps and bounds, exceeded what other movies have been doing to this point.
Right.
The only understandable thing, but even like Iron Man, he went through his struggles. He designed the damn suit. So, of course, he knows how to use it. But even he kind of struggled. But then he all of a sudden he kind of just got it. And I was like, well, I don't know about that.
Right.
He was like the only one that ever kind of came close to what I wanted it to be. And then this movie finally accomplished what I wanted to see in that.
Yeah. Most movies, it's like struggle, struggle, struggle. Fight once, get your ass kicked. Struggle. Now you're ready.
Yeah.
Like,
and then like they even kind of explain it that like you come to believe that when Christine is shocking Doctor Strange while he's flatlining, like it enhanced him somehow. Like it gave him more power.
Right.
So you come to kind of believe like that's kind of how he's like becoming stronger as well in the movie. That's how I kind of interpreted it, because like maybe that kind of shocked like his system to give him more access to some power.
It's
a little vague there.
Yeah.
That's like one instance I could say that like maybe they weren't so clear on.
Yeah, like you see him for so many training sessions like fall behind, not be able to actually create magic. And then, you know, it comes down to the point where the Ancient One has to teach him that, you know, you have to give into it. You can't stop. You have to stop thinking rationally about it and stop fighting against what we're teaching you. You need to accept it, and then you'll be able to access it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
And that's kind of what helped him, like, jumpstart his actual magical abilities.
Uh-huh.
But let's talk about some of the characters. Let's talk about the Ancient One. There was a lot of criticism about Tilda Swinton before because she was white or whatever, and people wanted this stereotypical Asian person. But
and the fact that it was a female,
yeah,
too. Because in the comics, technically the Ancient One is a male.
Right.
So I don't know. Like I didn't have a problem. I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, I think she was phenomenal.
And like I felt like she didn't try to pretend to be an Asian person. Which is good, you know, like, because I feel like that could have pissed people off even more. She, I guess it's easy to think that, like, was, like, based off the trailers, like, is she trying to be, like, Asian, kind of?
Right.
Like, it's a little confusing, but, like, in this, it's, like, when you watch the movie, it seems more like she's enlightened.
Yeah, I think Tilda Swinton was amazing. I thought, like, she did a great Ancient One. One of the problems with like this whole, oh, you're making an Asian person white, you know, you're whitewashing movies and all this stuff. Nobody said anything about them making Baron Mordo black.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I didn't have a problem with that either.
Dude,
I thought he was fantastic.
Dude,
he
was
amazing
as well.
Dude, he was great. Well. Yeah.
Dude, what if about his freaking boots, dude? That's
badass.
We'll talk about that in a second, but yeah.
So yeah, I mean, Wong was pretty amazing as well. Benedict Cumberbatch excelled, I think.
Fucking star, man.
He was amazing.
Let me tell you, dude, that guy, I believe, is one of like the top five actors in the world at the moment.
Yeah, he's really good.
He is just on a roll. Every role he is given at the moment, he is smashing it.
Yeah.
By leaps and bounds, too. Like, it's just, I don't know. If he's not considered like one of like the elites right now, I don't know what people are really doing, what they were really watching and what they consider good.
Definitely. Yeah, I think they nailed a lot of the characters in this.
His like little mannerisms and stuff and how he portrays himself as like a cocky individual, like when he's like the doctor,
mm-hmm.
like still like the surgeon, you know, and it was just like, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. I think they got the characters right. The story was great. I think it all worked. So let's talk about Caecilius real quick. He was created just for this movie.
Yeah, yeah. He's not an actual MCU character.
Yeah.
So
never been in comics or anything. So
yeah.
What did you think of Caecilius?
I think he was a good balance to Stephen Strange.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't, like, necessarily overpowered. He was manageable.
Yeah. He was
for him.
He was a good catalyst to introduce us to this world.
Yeah.
Before we jump into straight into to Baron Mordo and Dormammu, like, Foley and all that other stuff. Like, those are big league villains. So they had to introduce us with Caecilius, who I think was properly motivated.
But, like, the way they've set it up, though, is he was basically the catalyst to turn Mordo into the future villain for Strange, really. Mm-hmm. And I think it should be interesting, for sure. Yeah.
So Ancient One actually died in this movie.
Yeah, it was like unfortunate because she's such a badass, dude. Like that opening scene, dude, I was like, oh my God, this movie is going to be incredible.
Yeah. And when she like came back and was fighting them again. But yeah, dude, like she was like crushing people with buildings. That was fucking crazy, dude.
Like, whooping people's asses with her manifested shields and stuff. And I was like, oh, man, this is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fucking awesome. So, let's talk about some Easter eggs right now, and then we'll kind of fill in some of the spots that we missed, because these will get us more into parts of the movie that we've probably missed so far, so.
Yes, yes, yes. So, first off, we have objects and artifacts. So, first on the list is the sling rings.
Mm-hmm.
So, the sling rings allow
The sorcerers,
yes, to travel to different places and dimensions, mm-hmm. and of the such.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, yes. Okay. And we got the almighty cloak of levitation.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The cloak of levitation, which was pretty badass in this movie. It was one of the best characters in the whole film.
Yes. But actually is different in the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty sentient in the comics. It doesn't do all this saving Mr. Strange's life. Mr. Doctor. Yeah, but it can in the comics make itself look like any form of clothing.
Yes.
So we'll see if that, you know, translates in future.
I don't think so, based off of like the description of the, like, the cloak of levitation and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But that would definitely be a cool addition. I think they should consider doing that.
Yeah.
But yeah, moving on. We had the wand of Watoon used by Wong in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about the wand of Watoon?
I don't know anything about it. I just know it was there.
Okay. Dagger of Deberoth. Used by Caecilius's follower.
Yes.
We have the Black Knight's helmet in the New York Sanctum, shown quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, this should be interesting to see, you know, if we get anything from the Black Knight.
Yeah.
In the future. That'd be kind of cool. Staff of One.
Yes, the Staff of One.
Vaulting Boots of Valtar, used by Mordo, which was fucking badass in the movie. He was like, when he was like fighting Strange, he's like, one day you're gonna have to fight like your life depends on it, and then starts beating, like, trying to beat him up, and he fucking like uses the boots to like run like in just fucking midair, dude. He's just like, and he's like circling around him, and he fucking lunges at him, and he's like fighting him, and like trying to entice Strange as though his life is actually in danger.
Yeah,
maybe trying to, you know, manifest his abilities a little bit more. We have, lastly, that we know of. Oh, by the way, guys, we may not have uncovered all of the Easter eggs. As we find out more, we will be delivering them on future podcasts. Maybe in a month's time, we might just make an Easter egg type segment for Doctor Strange,
right,
recovering anything we've might have missed already.
Yeah, because as we kind of forgot to mention at the beginning of this, was almost everything that you see or that is seen or done in this film is an Easter egg of some point.
Yes. And lastly, for artifacts, we have Staff of the Living Tribunal. In comics, not an actual staff, but Living Tribunal is an actual character.
Yes.
Characters.
Well, it's just one character. It's just called the Living Tribunal.
Oh, I thought it was character. Okay, maybe I don't know shit.
No, that's all right. A couple of the spells that were used. Doctor Strange's attack spell is called the Flaming Whip in the comics. In his defense spell, there's a bunch of different names for it, but one of them is the Vishanti Shield of Personal Defenses. Then it's, you can call it the Mystic Shield, the Seraphimic Shield, the Unscathable Shield of Seraphim, etc. So many different names. And then some of the books that were talked about, the Book of Caglioso, which had the spells with the Eye of Agamotto in it, and that the pages were stolen out of. The Book of the Invisible Sun is Stromio Nova, Codex Imperium, Key of Solomon, and the Vedic Sanskrit. So.
Sick. Some of the characters that we've seen in or heard of in the movie include Tina Minoru. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I don't know. Minoru.
Yes, use the Staff of One. We'll probably see her daughter, Nikio, in the Runaway series. Daniel Drum, Master of the New York Sanctum, who was murdered. Also brother of Jericho Drum, a.k.a. Brother Voodoo. Master
Hamir.
Oh, Hamir. One-handed guy, looks like Ancient One from comics. Hamir is an assistant to the Ancient One in the comics. Also Wong's father. which we got none of that.
Yeah, we had no hint that he was Wong's father, but yeah, he was the one-eyed guy or one-armed guy that like Doctor Strange thought was the Ancient One when we walked
so
in.
So funny.
Which is, I think they did it on purpose because he looks like the classic Ancient One from the comics.
Yes. So Christine Palmer, aka the third Night Nurse, previously stated that she was not Night Nurse. Clearly, she is Night Nurse.
Yeah, clearly. So
we have the Mindless Ones, what Caecilius and his followers may have become when brought to the Dark Dimension.
It's just a prediction, but it kind of seems like it.
Yeah, no. I'm pretty sure probably true. Nicholas West, Palmer's partner, is in the comics, admired Strange, and did his surgery after the car crash. All the same. And then last but not least, Dormammu, Cumberbatch faced used for Dormammu.
Yeah, they used his face for the...
Who voiced him?
I think Cumberbatch voiced him as well.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
So that's all very exciting. Obviously, we didn't include all the characters. There's so many. Mordo, Ancient One, Doctor Strange, everybody in here is pretty much from the comics except for Caecilius. So,
yeah.
Locations, we had Comertage, just the training ground for magical warriors. We had all three sanctums. In the New York Sanctum, of course, we had the classic Seal of Ashanti. Obviously, it's on Bleecker Street. And the multiverse has been fully introduced here, which can open the door to all sorts of stories and universes, such as the Ultimate Universe, 2099, Zombies, etc. So...
Yeah, I thought that was like one of the coolest things that they could have done, is actually officially introduce the concept of the multiverse and whatnot. Like I said, dude, like we had predicted, this movie is essentially what to the MCU Thor provided, what Guardians of the Galaxy provided, and now it's this. All of those movies are probably the most key movies, other than Iron Man, because it kicked it all off, really.
Yeah. And then the team-up movies.
Yeah, and then, like, some of the team... You know, every movie plays an important role in some sort, but these ones are very pivotal for a certain reason, and I believe because, obviously, Thor provides the other worlds. Guardians of the Galaxy provided the outer space stuff, you know, aliens, other races and whatnot. And now Doctor Strange, like I predicted, the mystical art... Other dimensions, different realities and stuff like that. Essentially what the multiverse is.
Right.
So, now just miscellaneous stuff with the astral form in the comics. Strange watched over his own surgery through his astral form as well.
Yeah, like the scene with Christine Palmer. He's all watching over and
helping
her. That was from the comics.
Yes. Wi-Fi password, Shambhala, references the comic book series Doctor Strange into Shambhala, is actually also a place as well in the comics.
Yes.
Is like a Hindu and Buddhist temple of some sort I read somewhere. I forgot. I don't remember. Interdimensional visuals reminiscent of Steve Ditko's Dark Dimension. Very, very similar. Also... very representative of Pink Floyd's cover art as well, people believe, because, I mean, it's damn near an identical image. Like, they just have, that was their cover art on one of their albums, and then you just look at it, and it's literally the same thing.
Tell me why the Dark Dimension looked like there's just a bunch of floating bacteria.
Yeah, I mean, but that's, like, one of, like, kind of, like, theories and science and stuff. We're not going to get into that, but, yeah. Avengers Tower in the Skyline.
Yep. All right, so kind of like the future of the MCU with these Easter eggs. So we have our Infinity Stones so far. We've seen the Time Stone, which is in the Eye of Agamotto, the Space Gem from the Tesseract, the Mind Stone, which is in Vision's head, the Reality Stone, which was the Aether, and the Power Stone from Guardians of the Galaxy. So we only have the Soul Gem left. It will most likely probably be in Thor Ragnarok, I think. Makes the most sense.
More than likely,
out of the upcoming films, which is kind of where we get our mid-credit scene with Thor. We have our final credit scene with Mordo's origin. He thinks there's too many sorcerers, so that'll lead into future Doctor Strange films. And then what about World War Hulk? Strange plays a major role in setting that up in the comics. We'll see how that all works out.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll necessarily get it, but it could be interesting.
It could definitely. All this stuff could be interesting.
Yeah, so that's all the Easter eggs that we came up with.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are thousands of Easter eggs out there probably in this film.
Yeah, dude. So. Like we have said, you know, every couple of weeks, we'll personally review, you know, what people have caught on to as Easter eggs. And if there's enough content, we will be adding them in as segments. Obviously, we're not going to add a segment to, you know, mention one or two. You know, right. But, you know, if it's enough to have a little bit of a conversation about it, then yes, we'll be adding segments and we'll be updating our Easter egg list. And trust me, there are a lot here.
Yep.
Yes.
So let's kind of transition back into the film. Some of the criticism leveled at it, I guess. People think it's just formulaic Marvel, you know, just humor, joke, action, joke, asshole, main character. What do you say to those people?
To those people, because they are all DC fanboys saying it, why don't you guys worry about what is going on in your own movie universe? Like, stop worrying about what Marvel's doing. And literally, it's just, I bet most of these people probably enjoy these movies, but yet they're just hating on it because that's all they know how to do. That's all they know how to do. Yep. No. But on a most serious note, can you honestly say this is a bad movie? And if you do, like, what is so wrong with it? If you guys, if any of the listeners out there have watched the movie and truly believe it's a bad movie, you feel free to contact us. You can do that through Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We also have an email us link on our website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. There's a ton of ways. We have a form section on the website as well. You can create a form, just, you know, name it Doctor Strange and just, you know, post whatever you have to post and people can reply to it. And, you know, don't worry about, you know, we're not going to bash you. We might disagree with you, but that's about it. You know, everybody's welcome to their own opinion for sure.
Yeah. I mean, there are obviously, you know, the movie wasn't 100% perfect. There are criticisms that can be leveled at it, like we did with just saying unaware of how long he spent in Carmitage, which people can say, oh, well, he was there. We only saw him there for so little time. And, you know, like, well, how did you learn all that so quickly?
It's called context clues.
Yeah.
You have to pay attention to what is actually visually happening in the movie, such as I mentioned, no change in seasons. So that eliminates one. Christian points out his hair color changes. That is a context clue. You must use that to say, okay, could that happen within 6 months? Doubted. A year? Probably not. 2 years? Maybe. 3 years? Maybe. 4 years? More than likely.
Right, yeah. You kind of have to use, you know, context clues. Like, obviously,
the color of his robes, all the different things.
What Christine says.
Yeah, exactly.
How they mention that Caecilius needs to interpret the ritual fully, all that stuff. And we saw him train for, I'd say, quite a while before they went back to Caecilius doing the Dormammu ritual.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they went back to him training again. So,
I mean, you just had to take it with a grain of salt and make your best guess. I mean, the only way we'll ever get confirmation is if the director comes out and says, oh, yes, this is how much time passed.
Right.
You know, maybe they should have done it. But then it becomes like a thing where it's like, if they just, like, blatantly just, like, put, like, a still image saying 7 years later, that's lazy to me.
Right.
This leaves so much more to the imagination.
I feel like in an earlier draft, I mentioned this to Scott yesterday, that they probably did have, like, the years, like, said, because Caecilius does ask him, how long have you been in Carmitage? But, like, Doctor Strange just kind of, like, makes a joke after that, or, like, they play it as a joke, you know? So I feel like maybe in an earlier draft he actually said whatever, you know, but I think the movie was funny, but I don't think it made it bad. I think that there was so much good in this movie. I don't know why people can level criticisms out of it to that extent. But I know you, when I mentioned it to you initially that people were saying it's formulaic, you just disregarded it entirely.
No, it's ridiculous because it's not, dude.
Right.
So just like everybody's like, oh, yeah, in every movie, like obviously they didn't pay attention during Winter Soldier. That was the most unformulaic movie within Marvel. Right. Literally little to no humor at all, really, in that movie for the most part, except for with Falcon, really.
Right.
But, like, it was here and there kind of deal, and it was very dark movie, honestly. And I felt like, same thing with him, is, like, tragedy had been bestowed upon him. His life was ending. He was at his wit's end. He had, like, literally lost everything in the world, and then he was turned away.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? Like, he had to basically rebuild himself as a person in order just to achieve his goal of mastering the mystic arts and stuff. This was not a formulaic movie. Just because you add some fucking humor into the movie to not make it the fucking most dark fucking movie ever. Like, why don't you guys fucking take a lesson out of it and fucking make not fucking Batman vs. Superman the shittiest movie ever fucking made, okay? You fucking dickheads.
Let's boil it down even further, all right? Let me tell you the difference that makes Marvel good and DC not so good. DC fans want to argue, oh, it's the stories from the comics and blah, blah, blah. That's why they're so good, right? Sure, you can get the comic book stories right, but Marvel gets the characters right.
Yeah, which is their own... So, basically... Oh, man. So, if you guys want... Like, okay, so I... You know, me and Christian kind of used to be of this opinion as well. And I kind of corrected Christian on it, and then I kind of flowed into it myself as I got more immersed into it, because, like, he's like, oh, man, they got this so wrong or whatever. And I was like, well, you have to understand, like, if, you know, they're not going to get everything from the comics 100% correct. If you wanted that, just go read the comic again.
Right.
This is a movie based off of the comics. What the most important thing is that you get each character correct.
Yeah.
And DC can't do that.
Yeah, they Superman... Characters like Superman, characters like Captain America, they're so difficult to do correctly. It's you either fall in the trap, you make them too vulnerable, or you fall in the trap, you make them all these too goody two shoes perfect characters, right?
Yeah.
Like, DC struggles to get Superman correct. Their Batman in The Dark Knight is not a Batman I recognize. I mean, not The Dark Knight, sorry, in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah.
Whereas Marvel, Captain America is so spot on. Spider-Man, who was barely in Civil War, was so spot on. Tony Stark is perfect. Stephen Strange is perfect. They get him right.
Everyone, dude, is perfect. The only thing that I could ever really complain about is that Thor does not drink enough beer. That is literally my only complaint,
right,
for how they build their characters based off of what they see in their comic book material.
Right. He drank more beer in this mid-credit scene than he drank in all of his movies.
Yeah.
So.
But that was great, though. That was great.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the speculation, kind of like not real Easter eggs, but speculation. When he was driving and he got the call from Billy about these other patients or whatever.
Uh-huh.
The person who had their torso spun around.
Uh-huh.
People were saying, oh, it's Rhodey, because he had a spinal injury in Civil War. But they said he's 35. Rhodey's like 50. So, I'm pretty sure it's not him. I'm pretty sure it's the guy from Iron Man 2 in the Hammer Tech video, like in the experimental Iron Man suit that entire spine turned around. The lady struck by lightning with the implant stopped schizophrenia. People think it's Carol Danvers.
Maybe.
Because they already said they're changing her origin, so people think like that might be the origin. She got struck by lightning. That's kind of floating around. Could be interesting.
Could be interesting, yeah, for sure.
But obviously, we'll have to wait to find all that out. We won't know until.
Didn't they mention Rhodey though, in some way or another?
I don't know. I mean, the way it was mentioned for when he got the phone call was a military colonel or an Air Force colonel in an experimental armor suit that got his spine damaged. But they said he was 35. It could be Rhodey. I don't think Rhodey's 35 though.
Well, yeah, we don't know how. Actually, I do. I think that is Rhodey. Yeah, I think that was the scene I was talking about. I was like, oh, hey, they're talking about Rhodey.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I hope so.
We'll see. I mean, it's possible. I mean, I don't think we'll ever have confirmation unless it was from Scott Derrickson who directed this movie that it was about Rhodey. But we'll have to wait to see for Carol Danvers if that would be her origin.
Yeah.
For sure. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this movie to me was an A.
A plus, man.
A plus, yeah. So, shit, I guess, do we have anything else to talk about it, or do we just have to find a place on our list for it?
Yeah, just list it up, man. List it. I mean, obviously, we have to grade it.
Right. We do have to grade it. Dun, dun. What would you grade it? Why don't you go ahead and level of grade?
What would I grade it? That is so... That's a good question, man. I feel like I want to give it a 10. But just, I guess, because of the confusion of the... of the time.
Right.
I'll give it a 9.9.
It's pretty high. It's pretty high.
What would you give it?
I'd give this movie a 9.6.
A 9.6?
Yes.
Why 0.4 less than a 10?
I mean, to me, those points are just, you know, extraneous. Like, I think the movie succeeded in doing what it wanted to do. It got its characters right. But I think there was also room for improvement. I think the runtime could have been a little longer. We could have got some more maybe pre-car accident stuff, or even I think the time between him getting in the accident and going to Carmitage was perfect. Maybe even extend the training sequence a little bit. I hope us understand how long he's been there, but
yeah.
I think 9.6 is a fair grade. I think it was an excellent movie.
I'll change it to 9.8 because you did make some points in there I do agree with, but 9.8, that's as low as I can go.
All right, so let's put it on our list. For our Marvel Cinematic Universe films right now, we have Winter Soldier at number 1, Guardians at number 2, Avengers at number 3, Ant-Man at number 4, and I don't think it's going to go below that, so we'll stop there.
Yeah.
So where would you put Doctor Strange on this list?
I would put it at number 3.
You'd put it at number 3, right above Avengers. And right below Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. I don't know, man. Ah, this is so hard because, like I feel like it's just so neck and neck with Guardians.
Right. I think that you're kind of right. I think it's difficult because I feel like we almost have to separate these team-up movies separate from the regular ones because, like, they kind of transcend individual characters, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if it was on a separate list, you know, obviously the Avengers would vacate that spot and Ant-Man would be up there and then Doctor Strange would jump Ant-Man.
Actually, I'm going to change it. I'm going to put it at number 2, bumping Guardians down.
You're going to bump Guardians for it?
Yes.
You think this movie was better than Guardians?
Yeah.
That's a difficult one.
I do.
Yeah, this movie was very good. So if we do that, I mean, I can't really level an argument to make it so Guardians would be ahead of it necessarily. So I mean, I guess we'll have to just put it in there at number 2.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I think it has earned that spot. So obviously it's going to jump into our top 10 now. Is it going to stay, is it going to be at number 4 where Guardians was, or is it going to go above that to number 3 where Watchmen is? Is this movie better than Watchmen?
So, oh man, that's so hard because it's such a different movie.
Right.
So it's really hard to gauge. It's like the same argument between Deadpool and Captain America. They're so different. That is, it was so hard.
Yeah, it is hard to really get in there, dissect it. Because Watchmen really is. Watchmen is more like Winter Soldier than anything else.
Yeah.
I
would have to say. Oh man, wait, wouldn't this just be number 2 then?
No, because we remember we tied Deadpool and Captain America, so they're like 1 and 2 simultaneously.
Oh, yes.
I mean, we could make them both just at 1 and be cheater faces, so that we could have a number two, you know? But
no, we're going to knock Hellboy off the list.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, it was a really good movie.
It's gonna make it into our honorable mentions.
Yes.
So, geez, yeah, it's pretty difficult. Would you... So let's think about.
I would put it above Watchmen.
Would you?
Yeah.
All right.
It is difficult, but think about it in this sense. What movie, outside of the content, what movie, if you think about when you watched it, which movie were you happier about? What movie did you dislike? Like, literally, you're just like, fuck, that was just such a good movie.
Yeah, I think another aspect that goes into it is the rewatchability factor.
Yes.
And I think Doctor Strange is a high, just like Ant-Man. Like, a lot of people might not like Ant-Man the first time necessarily, or like think it's that great the first time, but it has so much rewatchability.
Yeah.
Like, it's just always going to be a fun movie to watch, just like Doctor Strange. I mean, I've seen it 3 times in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I think the movies with the greatest rewatch potential are, like, the best. Like, that's how you gauge, like, great movies, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah. I think that,
So, okay. Redoing the top 10, it will be, tied at number 1 and 2, Deadpool and Captain America Winter Soldier. Number 3 now is Doctor Strange. Number 4 now is Watchmen. Number 5 now is Guardians of the Galaxy. Number 6, Avengers. Number 7, Dark Knight. Number 8, X-Men. I'm guessing the first one, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Number 9, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Number 10, Kick-Ass.
Yes.
Rounding out the top 10.
Yep. So,
and I even think going back into the Marvel list, I think it's time to revisit this list.
Yeah, we're going to have to revisit a lot of this. Maybe rewatch the films and get a better idea as well.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Yeah. I think we might have to marathon it up one of these weekends.
And, oh, yeah.
And just knock out all the movies possible and then just reorder this list.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know. I feel like Iron Man should definitely be higher.
Yeah.
And, like, as good as, like, Avengers was, like, I don't know, man. I just kind of have a hard time putting it in that top 5.
Do you? I remember initially.
It was just, like, so, like, iconic, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why I ended up changing it up. But I think my own personal one, Avengers wasn't that high.
I think our own personal lists are going to vary drastically from each other. But, yeah, I mean, I think that Iron Man should be higher. And maybe some other stuff should be a little higher or a little lower. But,
yeah. We'll just have to revisit that another podcast.
Yeah. But
so, do we have anything else on Doctor Strange?
I don't think so. I just think that, you know, this movie succeeded in all the places you wanted it to succeed.
Yes, it opens a whole new realm.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just great. Like, I'm very excited about this film and the future of Marvel having this film in it now.
Yeah.
And seeing Doctor Strange and other things, like, it's just so exciting to me.
Yeah.
So I really can't wait. He's just one of the most powerful Marvel characters out there. I can't wait to see him and Wanda getting all witchy together.
Yeah, that should be good.
Yeah, I mean, it's great, and I think that Doctor Strange just nailed it, man.
Doctor Strange just nailed it. You heard it here first, guys.
So, no more superhero movies this year.
That's unfortunate.
We have Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them coming this next week. We'll be talking about that either probably in a couple weeks, most likely.
Yeah, I think that will be our new policy. You know, in case you guys are always waiting for like that opening weekend review, I think we're going to either do it the week after it comes out because it gives us a chance to rewatch it, you know,
right.
And it gives everybody else a chance to watch it.
Right, especially because we, you know, when you go like that first weekend, like we do like to go the first weekend, but we also like to go a little later as well so that there aren't so many people being obnoxious, because if you guys haven't heard Scott's movie going experiences, they've never been good.
Never.
So we have that, and then Rogue One in December. We'll probably review that around Christmas time.
Ooh, Christmas time podcasting.
Yeah.
Love it.
Just like last year.
Love it.
So I can't wait for all that. So I think I'm going to predict it now. I think Rogue One will be one of the best Star Wars films to ever come out. Yeah. I really do think that. This has come from someone, me personally, I love the prequel movies. Everybody hates them. I like them a lot. I don't think that.
Your opinion is valid.
Well, here's the thing. So I know this is off topic, but I'm just going to tell you guys real quick. So for the...
You just reminded me.
Go on.
Remember?
Say it first. What? Oh, go. What are you doing? What is this smile about?
Wait. Where did we hear this? Where did we hear it? Because I remember I specifically looked at you when somebody had talked, wasn't it in Doctor Strange they were talking about Han Solo?
Oh yeah.
What was that in? Was that in this movie?
No, I know it was no, in it wasn't something. It wasn't in this movie. I think it was in
Oh no, it was Legends? In one of the shows.
Legends?
Was it in Legends?
Arrow?
Maybe it was in Arrow. Fuck.
I don't remember, but someone was talking about how Han Solo is just an asshole or something.
God.
But yeah, Scott looked at me because he doesn't like Han Solo. He thinks Han Solo is just a cock block. He's trying to stop Luke from inbreeding with his sister, but you know, whatever.
Okay, that is beside the point. Before we ever have that information, okay?
Right. So, anyway, I like the prequel movies because I grew up, I watched them as a kid. I was full of awe and wonder when I watched those movies. I
saw all
the
their bad CG.
I saw the other ones first. Obviously, I saw A New Hope probably 20 times, Empire like 40 times before I ever saw the prequels. But when I did, I was a kid, and I liked them a lot. I thought they were great. Obviously, growing up, I can see that they're not that great of films. I just enjoy them every time I watch them, though. So even Revenge of the Sith, I love that movie. I think it's one of the best ones. But
yeah, all right, yeah. That is all we have for you guys on our Nerdy Boys Presents Doctor Strange. You heard it here. 9.8 from Nerdy Boy Scott, 9.6 from Nerdy Boy Christian. Yes. We re-ranked our list, and we will update those lists on our website so you can check them out at any time if you ever need to refer to it.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out our regular weekly podcast. That'll be up the same time as this.
Yes. Make sure you guys are following us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Make sure that you guys are continuously checking up on our website for new articles that may be coming out. So, without further ado, we are going to be signing out now. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
Here at NBR, we have one simple mention to leave with you, and that's just
stay nerdy, boys.